Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Oh, Lord, my God, Thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to Thee. Nothing is hidden from Thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise, and from afar Thou art discerned.
Start by praying a deck of the rosary. So this Sunday we'll be celebrating Pentecost, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the Apostles, which is the birthday of the Church, and it's the sacrament of those who are confirmed, because we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and His seven gifts to be very active within us. So let's pray that we would allow the Holy Spirit to take possession of our minds, our hearts, our wills, and our whole being, so we become fiery apostles like the apostles 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit is not getting weaker as the days go by. The Holy Spirit is God, so He's as strong as we allow Him to be strong within us. Let's allow for this divine invasion to take possession of our lives. The coming Holy Spirit upon Mary and the Apostles. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's hear you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Well, last week we talked about the devil. We talked about the devil. Interesting topic. And I talked about the strategy of the devil. So today it's going to be our counterattack. The devil has a strategy, but we have to have a strategy too. So I purposely was able to write out a blog article giving our strategy against the devil. And your parents have done the exercise with me. This is called the two standards. Standard of Christ and the standard of Satan. So we're going to be enlisting ourselves under the standard of Christ and fight the good fight against the enemy. So when I was thinking about giving this talk, a personal anecdote occurred to me that happened to me when I was about your age. Think about a year younger than you. Maybe 2 years younger. And I was in middle school. We called it in New Jersey junior high school. I was in eighth grade. And we had a wrestling match. So I signed up for the wrestling match. And if any of you have ever wrestled, you have different categories. You've got the featherweight, then you got the lightweight, you got the middleweight, then you got the heavyweight. I was one of the lighter ones. I was maybe about 105 pounds. And what had happened was that I didn't know too much about wrestling, but I started to lift weights and do push-ups, and I was running a lot. So I didn't know too much about wrestling, but I was pretty strong. So the first guy that I wrestled, I pinned him in 3 seconds. I took him and I threw him down, and you know, he was out. So the second guy pinned in about 20 seconds. And it wasn't so much because I knew much about wrestling, but I was much stronger than the other kids, no? They were kind of weaklings, and I was kind of a little Rambo, no? So the third guy I beat in a couple of minutes. But you know what's happening? Parallel to me was winning another boy who happened to be my best friend. Jimmy Nolan was my best friend, no? And he had an older brother in high school that was one of the best wrestlers in high school. So he knew the art of wrestling, whereas I had the muscles. So guess what happened? Guess who ended up as the finalists in that wrestling match? Eddie Broome and Jim Nolan. So we started wrestling. And I think it was the most bloody wrestling match in the history of that school. I went after him right away. I very aggressively went to attack him. And I got him, and I knocked his tooth out. Good thing we had dentists back then, no? He went after me, and he threw me into the mat. He crushed me in the mat, and had to stop the mat because I had lost about a half a quarter of blood. So I had to stop the match for about 2 minutes to clog up my nose, no? And we went after each other. We who were the best friends became the worst enemies in town. And I won 6-4. And that was my last wrestling match. So I tell you that story because we are in a wrestling match against the devil. So remember the story of Father Broome as a wrestler in eighth grade, okay? We have to wrestle against the devil. So I'm going to give you a 10-step strategy on how to conquer the devil. What I'm responding to are the 10 ways that the devil tempts us that you had last week. Okay, so write down, your topic is going to be our strategy or wrestling match against the devil. Our strategy or our wrestling match against the devil. I don't know if you ever Googled in and you saw the devil who's having a wrestling match, an arm wrestling match with Jesus. Maybe you've seen that. Yeah, the devil with the horns and Jesus is arm wrestling him. Okay, the first... Okay, so I'm going to give you the 10-point strategy. And it's this. Number one is... our strategy in desolation. Okay, our strategy in desolation. If you remember, we talked about desolation. Desolation is basically when we feel sad, depressed, discouraged. We feel that no one understands us. No one really cares too much for us. It seemed to be dark, a very dark setting, no? Like a Charles Dickens novel, okay? You're underneath the cloud. We all experience that. That's called a state of desolation. Okay, write down the rules of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Okay, I'm going to give you the rules of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Now, what St. Ignatius is going to tell you to do is the exact opposite of what you want to do. So when you're in this state, what he says you have to do, you're not going to feel like doing it, but you have to force yourself to do it. You're feeling depressed. Guess what the first thing he says is? He says you got to pray more. Write that down. You can put letter A, B, and C, and D if you like. In desolation, you got to pray more, not less. But when you feel sad and depressed, the younger generation says, I have to be true to my feelings, my inner child. And I don't really feel like praying, so I don't want to be a hypocrite. No, that's the words of the devil. The second thing you have to do is you have to meditate. Write that down, meditate. You know what meditate means? Is you have to think about God. You know, read the Bible, think about God. You know, meditate, you're using your mind to think about God. Psychology says you can't have two images in your mind at the same time. That's basic psychology. You can't have two images in the mind at the same time. You've got one image that expels the other image. Okay, the third thing is this. You have to practice some type of fasting. Wow. That doesn't mean going quick on the highway, okay? Fasting means you have to practice some type of sacrifice. And usually that's when we go to the refrigerator, we get a rice cream, no? But rather to deny ourselves. Jesus says, some devils are cast out only by prayer and fasting. Jesus said that. Some devils. And the fourth thing is, examine your conscience. Examine your conscience to see, why am I in this state of desolation? Now, why am I feeling this way? I mean, it's painful, but you have to ask the Holy Spirit, why am I feeling this way? Now, even though you're teenagers, I'm giving you very high spirituality now. This is Major League Baseball. This is the Yankees against the Dodgers, okay? This isn't minor little league stuff. This is Major League Baseball. Now, are you going to put this into practice right away? Probably not. But if you can remember this, this is huge. And these are tools you should be using all your life. I use them. Not perfectly, but I try to put them into practice. I probably maybe give myself a C+ or a B on a good day, you know? I try to put these into practice. Because we go through desolation too. Okay, that's the first. Okay, the second is, remember we talked about kryptonite? Did you ever see Superman? Have you ever heard of Superman? I used to watch Superman when I was your age, no? Clark Kent with a big S. Could fly, jump over high buildings, no? We all have a kryptonite. You know what the kryptonite is? The kryptonite is our weak point. Our weak point. So I'm going to give you a lot on this, and hopefully you'll be able to get as much as you can. I'm going to give you the 7 basic kryptonites in the human person. Write them down. They're called the capital sins. Okay, so write down the 7 basic kryptonites called the capital sins. I'm going to go through them and see if you can see what is your kryptonite. You don't know what it is? See me personally for 4 or 5 minutes and I will pinpoint it for you. I am a spiritual doctor and I can ask a couple of pointed questions. It might hurt a little bit, but I'll point out what is your kryptonite. We all have to know that. Okay, here they are. I'm going to give you 7 words. And after each word, I'll give you a short definition, a short, pithy, concise definition. The first is gluttony. In Spanish, they call it la gula. La gula. Gluttony. Let's write down the what is the definition? It's a disordered desire to eat and drink. Do you like to eat? Do you eat to live or live to eat? Uh-oh. Do you eat to live or live to eat? Good question, right? Eat to live or live to eat? If you eat to live, temperance. Live to eat, you're a glutton. The second would be lust. L-U-S-T. In Spanish, la lujuria. And that would be a disordered sexual appetite. Okay? Because as a result of original sin, we've got disorder in everything. So the devil can go after you in that way. In many ways. Because we live in a world of images, right? Okay, now the third would be, write it down, avarice. You ever hear the word avarice? You learn that in school? Okay, avarice. Another word for avarice would be greed. Spanish, avaricia. How would we define that? A disordered desire for material things. You want a lot of things. No? My mom would say, your possessions possess you. Uh-oh. And the fourth would be sloth or laziness. I don't know, in school, do they still study physics and chemistry, or those things of the past? They still study that? Okay, do you know what inertia is? Have you learned what that is? Now, the definition I learned 50 years ago, an immovable body needs an exterior force, so that it's put in motion. Do they still define it as such, Anna? It's an immovable body. Unless there's an exterior force, it stays there, like a rock on the top of a mountain, right? Because of original sin, we have spiritual inertia. Yeah. So write down that if you're scholars. Okay. So sloth is spiritual inertia. You know, you're lazy. Teenagers can be great, but you can be lazy at times, no? I've heard teenagers on the weekend, they sleep in until 1 o'clock. I've already been up 6.5 hours. So, you know, are you lazy? Okay, the next one would be, ever hear the word envy? Envy, jealousy? How would you define that? You define this, well, I feel bad because someone has something that I don't have. We all have that, huh? Yeah. I feel bad because someone has something I don't have. Oh, that girl has a white mask, I have a blue mask. Oh, that girl has a mask that has a big smile on it, I have a frown on it. Oh, okay. Ruined your day, huh? Okay, then the next would be anger. Are you an angry person? Okay, right down next to anger, I give in to impatience easily. And the last would be that of pride. You've heard the word pride, right? You define pride theologically, a disordered love for self. You become, if you like, a psychological definition, egomaniac. You think you're the big man on campus, the big banana, huh? The big cheese, huh? Número uno, they say in Espanol. Now, I gave retreats to teenagers in Argentina, and one girl came up to me with a big smile on her face and said, Father, I've got all of those. Oh! You know, we all have all of them, but which is your predominant? You're going to have a major and a minor. You might have that when you go to college, okay? There's probably going to be one of those and then a second one. If you know that, once you're in desolation, the devil is going to lift up his fiery dart and shoot to kill at your kryptonite. You got that? So knowing that, even though it's painful to come to terms with those seven tendencies, if you know where you're weak, you can place the shield to protect you. If I'm playing baseball against you, and I notice that you can't hit a fastball, you're going to get fastballs. But if you can hit a curveball, you can't hit the curveball, I'll throw the curveball. Baseball is an art. It's an art. If you know anything about the sport. No? The devil is an excellent pitcher. The other day, there was a baseball team, the pitcher pitched a no-hitter. Happened to be a New York Yankee. Corey Kluber, no? No one got a hit in the whole nine innings. That's incredible. And he was looking at the weak points of the Texas Rangers. And he was on. The devil is an excellent pitcher. He knows how to throw. He wants to strike you out. So, there's a two-word axiom of the Desert Fathers. Know thyself. Socrates says, a life that is not examined is not a life worth living. And Toynbee, the historian, says, he who does not know history is condemned to repeat the same errors. So true. That's a history scholar. Let's move on. So number three, we're going through the capital sins, is fighting against procrastination. Fighting against procrastination. You know what procrastination means? In Spanish, it's called la filosofía de la mañana. La filosofía de la mañana, lo hago mañana. Al rato, ¿no? I'll do it later. No hurry, no hurry. Okay, how can you... Well, that's what the devil wants you to do. Go to confession and, next month. Say your rosary next week. Start to say your prayers. Start tomorrow. Try to reconcile with your mother. Well, don't do it today. She's in a bad mood. I'll do it maybe on Monday. Huh? That's the devil working on you. Okay, how can you overcome procrastination? How can you overcome the devil procrastination? Okay, I would suggest... Okay, very rarely do I do this, but I would all suggest that you buy this book written by yours truly, okay? Okay? by this book written by Padre Shkobita. I'm a writer, okay? This is my last book published by Tan Publishers, which is probably the most famous Catholic publisher in the country. And this, it's called Roadmap to Heaven, in which I write down three plans of life, and one is directed at teenagers. Yep. And they give the five M's of the spiritual life for teenagers. So if you were to read this, it's going to help you to order the disordered and not to waste time. Not to waste time. People that procrastinate, they're always putting things off to tomorrow, 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 tomorrow never arrives. You know, tomorrow is like someone that's running after a shadow and trying to catch a shadow. Try to catch a shadow. Have a running race and try to catch a shadow, okay? You're never going to catch him. He's always going to be ahead of you, and you're going to get tired quicker than he gets tired. Right? Okay, let's move on to number four. Okay, how to conquer the devil of resentment. How to conquer the devil of resentment. How to conquer the devil of resentment? Okay, write down this. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And write down, forgive those who hurt you right away. I know it's hard, but forgive those who hurt you right away. Now, if you don't do that, if you're an extrovert, you're always going to be angry and bitter and sarcastic, and you're going to be a chismosa also. Okay, if you're an extrovert, you tend to be a person that is more expansive, extroverted. If you're an introvert, you're always going to be living sad and depressed. And you might have a combination of both. You're angry and depressed. There are many, many people, and a lot of teenagers, that are sad and depressed and angry because someone has hurt them and you haven't forgiven that person. And to make things worse, you're not even aware of it until you maybe talk it out with a priest. Yeah, my older brother really hurt me. Yeah, my dad yelled at me. It's true, I have never really forgiven my father, and that's why you're so angry and depressed. Oh, Father, it's so painful that you say it, but it's true. I will forgive him. And you're free. I'm going to do a dynamic with you. I'm going to do a little game with you, a dynamic with you, to show you what lack of forgiveness does. Are you ready? Okay. What I want you to do now is, okay, you're going to put down your pen or pencil. I want you to open up your hands. And, okay, now, make a tight fist. Make a tight fist. Don't open. Don't open. Tighter. Tighter. A little bit more. Really tight. A little bit more. Another 5 seconds. Really tight fist. Open up. How do you feel? How did you feel when you had your clenched fist? You felt tense, right? You felt stressed. You felt uneasy, right? How did you feel when you opened up those fists? It's a great dynamic. I learned that from a Protestant minister. So people that are living with resentment are people that have clenched fists within them. Yes. And what acid does to your stomach line in the biology, that forms ulcers. It perforates your intestinal wall. Right? That's what unforgiveness does to your soul. It burns holes in your soul. Right? So if you want to experience freedom, the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, forgive. I know we have some scholars here who like to quote the the English Catholic poet, and his name is Alexander Pope, to err is human, to forgive is divine. Amen? Remember that one, okay? To err, to make a mistake is human, but to forgive is divine. Okay? We all make mistakes. So let's learn that the devil wants us to be resentful and angry and bitter and vindictive and get even. The devil wants you to be sad, depressed, bitter, and a chismosa. Okay? Okay? Chismosa doesn't mean someone who eats a lot of cheese, right? Chismosa means a person that's always speaking bad. Always speaking bad about people. Because he's angry and wounded within. That's a chismosa. Okay, let's move on. Number five, okay. The world of images and pornography. Write that down. The world of images and pornography. That is the biggest addiction in our country today. Okay, I'm going to give you one way, or rather two ways in which we can neutralize, obliterate, and expunge that from ourselves. Okay, number one is reading and memorizing biblical verses. Reading and memorizing biblical verses. I read it was like a 12-step program of overcoming addiction to pornography by Steve Wood. And one of the things he said, I really liked. And he said this, what chlorine is to a pool, the Word of God is to our mind. I like that. I go swimming. I'm not going to go in a swimming pool that doesn't have chlorine. I'll get sick. I'm going to get sick. What does chlorine do to the pool? If you speak Spanish, it mata los microbios. It kills the bacteria, right? So what chlorine does to the pool, the Word of God does to our mind. So you've got ugly images upstairs, you read the Word of God, and it starts to dislodge, to expunge, to delete the bad images. Try to memorize a biblical passage every day. That is light for us. Okay, still the same number. Another good way to overcome the power of the ugly image, because pornography are ugly, diabolical images, is to surround yourself by holy pictures. Yes, surround yourself by holy pictures. Of what? Of the Sacred Heart. Of divine mercy. Of Jesus on the cross. Of Our Lady Guadalupe. Of Saint Joseph. Of your guardian angel. Today we celebrate the great Mexican martyr. Some of you come from Mexico, huh? Today we celebrate the Los Cristeros, no? They were killed in Mexico about 100 years ago. And what do they say? Que vive Cristo Rey. Cristóbal Magallanes in 25. The JP2 canonized in the year 2000. As you're being surrounded in your room by these holy images in your car, the temptation is much less because you're surrounded by these holy people that are your best friends. Amen? Okay, let's move on. Number six, laziness, sloth, indolence. The devil wants us to be a couch potato. Huh? That's I used to use that expression 20 years ago. You know what a couch potato is, no? You're just sitting there on the couch in front of the TV or your computer, huh? Okay, how are we going to overcome that? Okay, write down. This is the remedy. You listening? The remedy is meditate on the last things. Meditate upon the last things. What are the last things? Meditate upon these things. Maybe 5 minutes a day. Death. Judgment. Heaven. Hell. Death, judgment, heaven, hell, and also write down eternity. Eternity. Do you know what eternity is? Eternity means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Never ends. Even though I'm much older than you, I never get tired of meditating upon eternity. I never get tired of it. That means, my friends, we're going to heaven forever or we're going to hell forever. There's no other place. And Our Lady Fatima, I'm giving a course on consecration through Our Lady Fatima on Saturdays. Our Lady Fatima said this, if the world would meditate upon eternity, the world would be converted just like that. Eternity. Think about that. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Did you ever hear St. Augustine? St. Augustine says, our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. He just blinked. Yep. Our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. That's all a couple of blink. Your life, compassion, eternity, blink, it's over. There we go before Jesus to be judged. Our eternal destiny, either saved or damned. How could you possibly meditate upon that 3 or 4 minutes a day and not be converted? I think it'd be impossible. True, you might be afraid to meditate upon those truths, but they're very serious. They're very sobering, but they convert us. No? Many saints have been converted by thinking about the reality of eternity. So the devil that wants us to be lazy, you think about death, judgment, heaven, hell, purgatory, eternity, you're going to get out of that state. Let me get out of that state. Some of you have probably heard of the word reincarnation. You ever heard of reincarnation? That's what, you know, a lot of the people in Vietnam and India believe, and they believe that you're born, you die, and then you come back again. Then you're born, you die, you come back again. It's the wheel of existence, okay? The wheel of existence. And if you live a really good life, you return as the Queen of England. You live a bad life, you come back as a cucaracha, okay? And then karma enters in non-existence. We don't believe that, do we? We believe you're born, you live, you die, you're judged, you go up or you go down. I repeat, we believe you're born, you live, you die, you go upstairs, you go downstairs. It's as simple as that. So thinking about the shortness of life and the last things can really help us not to become lazy. I've been thinking about this the past month. The devil has a lot of vices, but is the devil lazy? Hello? That's one vice that the devil doesn't have. The devil isn't lazy. He works 25 hours a day. And as the Beatles used to sing, 8 days a week. And he works 366 days a year. In English, that's called hyperbole. Okay? Literary flair to emphasize a point. To point out that the devil works overtime. Father Hurtado, a great Chilean saint, said, there are two places that we should rest. Two places we should rest? You know where? The cemetery and heaven. The cemetery, heaven. Those are two places that we can rest. In the meantime, manus al obra. Manus al obra. Okay, let's move on. Almost, we're getting there. Number seven. Okay, number seven is bad company corrupts morals. Bad company corrupts morals. Okay, what is going to be the remedy? Okay, you have to examine your social contacts, your social relations. And today, it would be friends, but even you have to check out the people that you have contact online. You might have some friends. You have a friend who contacts you online, and that friend is sending you bad messages. Hey, what do you do? It's over. It's over. That person is saying, you know, bad images, bad ideas, bad words, you know, just ugly stuff. That friend is no longer a friend. You block it and you delete and you erase that person. Erase. I've told you, what is a friend? A friend is someone that brings you closer to Jesus Christ, your best friend. So the devil can get in there. No, he's a friend. We have common interests. You know, cholos have common interests. Huh? They want to rob banks, huh? That's the definition that most teenagers say, oh, friend, we do things together. We enjoy doing things together. But cholos, they like to steal things together. So a good friend is going to help you to get closer to Jesus, your best friend. Amen? So that's a key point with respect to the devil. The devil wants you to convince you that that friend of yours is really a good friend, but he's leading you away from Jesus, he's your enemy. He's your enemy. Okay, a couple more. Number eight. How to conquer wandering eyes. How to conquer wandering eyes. We mentioned last week that King David was a very holy man, but his eyes wandered, and he wandered to see a woman that was taking a bath on the top of the roof. And the name of the woman who was taking the bath on the top of the roof, her name was Bathsheba. Why was she taking the bath on the top of the roof anyway? Couldn't she have done that in her own house? No. But be it as it may, David's eyes were wandering. You ever hear the expression, curiosity killed the cat? The cats, we got two cats. They're very curious. They're always looking around. They're always looking around. You know, cats are very curious creatures. You know? You have that cat within you? So, what's a good way for you to overcome the wandering eyes? And it's this. Live in the presence of God. Write that down. Living in the presence of God. Okay, I'm going to tell you a funny story of one of my little brothers. When I was your age, I had a brother that was about 3 years old. So my family, we have almost a 20-age difference between, or nine, between the youngest and the oldest, about a 20 year span. And my little brother, he loved chocolate chip cookies. Chocolate chip cookies, man, they're good. A little bit of ice cream too, right? And my mom said, Jim, you cannot eat chocolate chip cookies if you don't ask permission. Because we'd have to ask mom and dad, can I have a couple of chocolate chip cookies? And they would say yes. Sometimes they would say no. So he was about three. One day, my mom was outside in the garden with her tomatoes and tulips and her carrots. My mom had a little garden. And I think I was doing my homework, and I heard some noise. And all of a sudden, I saw my little brother. You know those high chairs? Maybe you have a little brother, a high chair that he's sitting on. at the table, so he'd be able to see the food he's eating. And he ends up by wearing more than he's eating, right? What he was doing was, he was looking out to see if the coast was clear. No one. So he was climbing up in the high chair. And he got up on the high chair. You know, a lot of those high chairs, they're not always stable. They often, you know, there's always one leg that's a little bit shorter than the other one, no? So he's climbing up, and all of a sudden, he puts his hand in the cookie jar. And guess what happened to the high chair? It fell. And then he fell, and his t-shirt caught on to the refrigerator door, which was really sharp. And there he was, between heaven and earth, crying out, "Help! Help! Help!" And my mom came running in. There he was, hanging between heaven and earth, with his hand in the cookie jar. Like that story? Hopefully my brother's not watching this now from New Hampshire. Otherwise, why did you tell that story? I'm telling that story because if my mom were in the kitchen looking at him, he would not have gone for that cookie jar. But my mom was outside there in the garden. He thought, the coast is clear. Let's get those cookies. So if we're aware that God is looking at us, we're not going to be committing sin. Your friend, Teresa of Avila, hopefully she's your friend, Teresa of Avila says, we sin because we forget about the presence of God. That's Teresa of Avila. And if you're aware of God, God is present, He's looking at us, then we're going to be on our best manners, yes. So we become temporary atheists. We obliterate God. God doesn't seem, He doesn't exist, and we go for the cookie jar. All right. I thought you liked that story. It's a pretty good one. Number 9 is the devil of disobedience. How can we overcome the devil of disobedience? Face it, we don't like to obey. We don't like people to order us. We want to do our own thing. We have our own agenda. We have our own plans, right? Well, you know, we have to learn how to obey. And your teenagers, once you get older and you go to maybe college, maybe you start to work, you're not gonna be starting out as the CEO of Apple right away. You're gonna be probably lower down on the echelon. You're gonna have to learn how to obey orders. But even more so, we should learn how to obey God's orders. We have to learn how to obey God's orders. So if it's difficult for you to obey, I'll give you this strategy. Look and contemplate Jesus hanging on the cross. Look and contemplate Jesus hanging on the cross. And write down this biblical verse, which is taken from St. Paul. St. Paul in his letter to the Filipinos. The Philippians. Okay, I made a mistake there. Okay? Write this. Now, Jesus was obedient even to death and death on the cross. Yeah. Philippians chapter 2. Jesus was obedient even to death and death on the cross. If it's hard for you to obey, your mother says, clean your room. It looks like a pigsty. Okay. Look at Jesus on the cross. You think that was easy? That was very difficult. But Jesus obeyed his Father even by allowing himself to be scourged and nailed to the cross. And he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. I think that's the most powerful remedy to overcome disobedience, is contemplate Jesus as he hangs on the cross, shedding every drop of his precious blood for your salvation and mine. So we have to learn how to obey. No, the young people today, you don't want to obey. But you have to learn, we live in a very disobedient world. But we have to learn that by obeying God, our parents, our superiors, we're very pleasing to Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen or oh me? And amen, right? Okay, let's move on to number 10. Okay. Ways that we can conquer the devil who rejects the Blessed Virgin Mary. That was my last point. The ways that we can overcome the devil that rejects the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I said that one of the tactics of the devil is to convince people to leave the Catholic faith. Did you know that most Jehovah's Witnesses, they used to be Catholics? Did you know that? It's incredible. If you ever talk with a Jehovah's Witness, I used to be a Catholic, but now I found the right faith. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. No? Most Mormons? Ever meet a Mormon? The guy dressed in the white shirt, the black tie, the blonde hair, the blue eyes, 6 feet two, riding a bicycle, those are Mormons. They're Mormons, no? They used to be Catholics. Most of them were Catholics. Why is it that everyone is leaving the Catholic Church to become a Mormon and a Jehovah's Witness? Because they didn't come to catechism classes with Father Broom, right? Amen? It's for ignorance, really. It's for ignorance. And what happens, you become a Jehovah's Witness, you become an enemy of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Yeah? They'll go and they'll take that image of Our Lady of Guadalupe and they will cut it to pieces, they'll throw it in the trash. They're saying you're practicing idolatry because you're adoring images. And they're virulently opposed to the Blessed Mother and anything that refers to Mary. So how can we overcome the devil that rejects Mary? Write this down. Number one, wear your brown scapular. Some of you have already taken your scapular off, okay? Put the scapular back on. You wear the scapular, that is your sign of consecration to Mary. Wear your brown scapular. That's Mary's garment. That means you belong into the school and the family of Mary. And look, you have it. Aisha, you got it there. It's like Mary's giving you a hug. Okay, you got one in the front, one in the back. It's like Mary's giving you a hug. I like that. And then, okay, when you wake up, consecrate yourself to Mary. So as soon as you get up, the first thing you should be doing is consecrating yourself to Mary. And then you kiss your scapular. Fulton Sheen says there's two philosophies. Oh, God, it's morning. Good God, it's morning. Oh, God, it's morning. Good God, it's morning. Two different philosophies. So no, you wake up with joy, a new day, which I can serve God through Mary. Third is when you're tempted by the devil, what should you do? What's the best way to overcome the devil, the temptation of the devil? Give in to temptation? No! Say the Hail Mary. Say the Hail Mary. As soon as you're tempted by the devil, Hail Mary. So every time the devil tries to tempt you, you're praying Hail Mary. That's going to get the devil really angry. And he's going to leave you at peace. And the fourth is pray the rosary. One of my favorite saints, his name is Saint Alphonsus Liguori. Saint Alphonsus Liguori. You'll get to know him one day. One of the greatest bishops and saints in the Catholic Church. One time this lady came up to him and said, "Hey, Father, Every time I pray the rosary, I'm really tempted. I get really bad thoughts. And he said, that's a good sign. The devil is angry and he wants to get you not to pray the rosary. This is St. Alphonsus. Yeah, I pray the rosary, a lot of temptations. All I should pray too. So the fact that you have these weird thoughts, these really weird thoughts, when you're praying, it's a good sign because the devil knows that by praying the rosary, you're going to be saving a lot of souls. And the devil doesn't want you to save souls. So he's going to throw a lot of mud at you. But just duck, okay? Just duck. Okay, and then the last thing you should do in conquering this devil that is against Mary is read a good book on Mary. Read a good book on Mary. And there are many. I would suggest that all of you, maybe ask your parents, to get a really good book on Our Lady of Fatima. Okay? I find Our Lady of Fatima is fascinating. She appeared to those three little children. If you like, you might even get the memoirs of Sister Lucia. Sister Lucia was the oldest one. She wrote what's called the memoirs, in which she wrote down what happened in Fatima in 1916 and 1917. So, these 2 weeks we've been talking about the devil's tactics, and now today we talked about our strategy. If you can follow this strategy, you're going to win the victory. So this would be the three homework activities you can try to carry out. And then I'll give you our blessing. Okay, the first is this. Okay, pray for the grace to know your kryptonite. Pray for the grace to know your kryptonite. What is your weak point? Second activity. Pray the rosary every day. Find a time and a place. And I've already said three today, and I'll say another one before the sun goes down, or before I go to bed. I'll have said four today. You say at least one, okay? Pray the rosary. It doesn't depend on how you feel. Just pray it. Once Father Larry said, I asked him, why should we pray the rosary? And he says, because it works. It works. You want special graces? It works. Mary comes and she'll help you. Many, many graces that God wants to give you comes through Mary. Okay, and the last activity would be this. Talk to your parents about the strategy of the devil and your strategy. Talk to them about that. I think your parents will really be interested about this. Share this. You know, when you're online, you're sharing something. Share this with your parents. And by sharing this, that's an act of charity. Because more we share things about God, the more we become richer in our faith. Amen? So let's spend about a minute and a half in silence, and then I'll give you the blessing. So please stand. Let's ask the Blessed Mother to help us to conquer the presence of the devil in our lives as we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.